News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Yeah, Dalton out today. Sean Sullivan is in. It is 8:07 at FM Talk 106.5. Online, we've got all kinds of things online, including an opinion poll we would love for you to chime in on, and you chime in by voting.
Yeah, so it goes off of our first story in three big things. Of course, we post some of the bigger news stories of the day on our website every day at fmtalk1065.com. And numero uno in three big things today, Mardi Gras in the fall. Mobile County Health Officer urges organizations to move parades. And it's from a conversation that happened yesterday with Dr. Bernard Eichold from the Mobile County Health Department, who said, I think it'd be in the best interest of the parading organizations to strongly consider delaying the 21 Mardi Gras season. He went on to say that the real decision will be at each municipal level. It will potentially be at the governor's level and could possibly be at the health department level. He added that Mardi Gras is important. Everybody wants it to be safe. Having it at a later date when we're properly immunized and COVID-19 is not a factor is just something to think about. Wouldn't it be fun to be able to celebrate in Mobile, Alabama, when 65% of the population has been vaccinated and properly immunized for COVID-19, to maybe delay Mardi Gras and have a great celebration to celebrate the end of COVID-19. Then he goes on in the comments here, and he's saying that, yeah, do this in the fall. Do Mardi Gras, move Mardi Gras to the fall when he thinks we will be through the vaccination process and it'll be a lot safer. So this is our online opinion poll question brought to you by 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Would you participate if Mardi Gras was moved to the fall? Would you go, whether you're a masker, whether you're somebody's going to stand there and watch the parades? Let's say it's not in February, you know, or as late as it can go into March. Let's say it's now in October, and you put Mardi Gras in October. Now,
wouldn't that be some form of Mardi Gras? It wouldn't be Mardi Gras. It would be like some form.
It wouldn't be
Mardi Gras.
It'd be a Mardi Gras celebration,
right,
you could say.
Right.
And you know, they do the Mardi Gras in July and all that. But I am the stick in the mud, and I want to point out to the secular world, I'm glad they enjoy Mardi Gras too, but Mardi Gras is there because we back timed that baby out of Ash Wednesday. This is because of Lent.
Yes.
Which is driven by Easter. These are all things on the Christian calendar. So the reason we do Mardi Gras, and I think this audience all gets it, but maybe you could holler at your friends and family.
I think they do.
But this is based on Ash Wednesday, which, of course, is about Lent, which is about Easter. Okay? So that is why we do it when we do it. So would you participate, though, if they have some kind of... because this would be, at that point, completely secular, right? It would be just to have the party.
Exactly.
Because you can't cancel Mardi Gras. There still will be the Tuesday before Ash Wednesday, and if you want to go full bore there and overindulge in things that you may be giving up for Lent, you know.
Or not.
Most people are not giving, right. Yeah. Then you could still do it at your home or whatever, but they're saying not. It looks like the writing's on the wall here.
Yeah.
That Mardi Gras celebration with the parades and all that stuff is going to be extremely limited or canceled for 2021 in the late winter. So would you participate? So we're asking. You can go online to our Facebook page, facebook.com/FMTalk1065, and answer the poll question. Or also, or in addition to, go to our website, FMTalk1065.com, and check out the 1-800-GOT-JUNK online opinion poll question. Would you participate if Mardi Gras was moved to the fall?
It'd be like a New Jersey Italian Mardi Gras leads right up to Columbus Day. Where are we taking Mardi Gras up to, like, for instance, obviously, Ash Wednesday, Fat Tuesday?
Our back off date? I don't know.
And also, I'll say this here. Look, I would probably participate in Mardi Gras in between the things that are already subject to be scheduled in the fall, high school football games, mm-hmm, college football, right? See, the fall's already got its scheduled events coming. We the fall's all about football in the South.
Yeah.
And I would think that, you know, we can celebrate the end of the pandemic by certainly getting out and supporting our local businesses that are probably the ones that are left are going to be so ready for us to come out and see and come out and sit down and have a beer and have a dinner and all that kind of stuff. That's in a way a celebration too, but that would be a shot in the arm for the downtown businesses that are hurting so badly right now, to at least give them... I think you're talking about two Mardi Gras for the price of one, right? Because you're going to do it again in the spring, the next spring.
Right. If we, yes.
2022.
Two.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I mean, I'd like to hear from y'all. We can get your votes on the opinion poll question. You can do Facebook or the website. You can holler at us at 3... Not holler, but you can talk with us. Some people holler at 343-0106, and also the text line. You know, somebody said the other day, left a message, I think I said this yesterday, left a message on my phone in the back at the desk.
You told me about
it. And said, you need to make it easier to call versus text, because people can't text on the when they're driving. I'd rather talk to y'all in person. So the primary is calling at 343-0106.
Okay? The text has become the primary, but the primary has actually always been just
telephone.
On the phone.
Right.
Danson Mobile, I believe, and he's got some thoughts. Good morning, Dan.
Hey, Dan. Hey, this is Rick.
Oh, Rick. Okay. Hey,
oh, Rick.
Rick.
Well, how are you, Rick?
Well, I'm hoping that you've already received the news that the St. Paul's game and the Spanish Fork games will be televised.
Yes. Yes.
We've been talking about that. Hey, Coach.
Hey, Sean. I didn't know you were in there. I apologize.
No, it's no worry.
I got that information this morning, and I knew Dan would.
Yeah, he was talking about
information.
JTC, right?
Yeah, we talked. I did see that. Of course, you know, it's not going to be the stellar crew you usually see on Friday nights. it'll be the JV team, but yes, it'll be on. It'll be varsity players, JV announcers, but it's going to be on at 7 o'clock tonight and also tomorrow night. And I wish the whole crew the best. I really don't know who's doing it.
Coach, my family abandoned me. My whole family went. They're heading to Tuscaloosa here in just a little bit. A dad has to stay home. At work, but the whole family's going up to watch St. Paul's play. So,
Rick, are you still there?
We've lost.
It was like a scene out of the Jetsons. I saw George Jetson hand his credit card over to Jane Jetson or Mrs. Jetson.
Are you talking about yesterday?
Yesterday, she came in and the exchange of credit cards happened, and I was like, "This is like I've seen this. This is like the typical father."
Yes, I am that guy. During the show, Mrs. Sullivan came in during the show, in between segments, and said, "Hey, we're all going to Tuscaloosa."
I mean, she just
hand over the money, pops.
It wasn't like. Do you think we can go to Tuscaloosa? No.
No.
She said, we are going to Tuscaloosa.
Hey, any of y'all that follow us on Twitter, at FM Talk 106.5, which is actually me, on Twitter, you'll see the wife chime in. She's a football
fanatic.
Fanatic.
Yeah.
In our family. I am way JV compared to her. So,
and you played, though.
And I played, but yeah. She knows way more into it. And by the way, too, recap, just the fact that we talked to Rick, to Coach Cleveland, that he's going to be... of course, breaking all this down Saturday morning.
Okay, but right on the Prep Sports Report.
Yeah.
So that's who that was.
8 to 10 every Saturday. Hours of high school football talk and more sports, but there'll be a lot of high school football talk this Saturday.
I never caught on to the fact that it was him there. Rick.
Yes.
Because it says Dan. Anyway, it's on the screener bar. It's 15 minutes after 8 o'clock, FM Talk 106.5. Well, that's an interesting way to get COVID-19. Indeed. And in the great city of New Orleans... We're going to break that down for you as best we can
on
radio.
Yeah.
As best
Shagadelic.
We can. 15 after 8, FM Talk 106.5. Dan Brennan, Sean in for Dalton Orwig. And a story that I would think you don't want to miss on the way. 820 at FM Talk 106.5. By the way, look, you want to get out, fresh air. And celebrate the season. You can do that safely at the Wharf for sure. They've got the family holiday tradition that so many really enjoy down there. And the Wharf is a big, spread-out place, so you can be socially distanced and you can still enjoy what they've got. They've got already got the tree is lit, thanks to the city of Orange Beach. They did that earlier this week. You've got photos with Santa on the weekends, and they've got 1, 2, 3 safe photo options for you, so that's great. And Holiday Spectra. Okay, the laser light show, you know that at the Wharf. It's really cool, and it's twice a night, 6 o'clock and 7 o'clock. Well, guess what? Now they've got a special festive holiday light show. It's got sing-along songs, and you'll love all that. Wharf North Pole Express is Saturdays. Kids wear PJs, take a ride on the train, get a coloring book, golden ticket sticker, and a candy cane as a souvenir. They've even got horse and carriage rides on Sunday. Very nice. Wharf's got it all, from the light show to all the shopping to all of the socially distanced area that you've got, because it's a really big place, and it's a great place to celebrate the season. Tons of deals, too, by the way, you can find, and you can find it all at alwharf.com. Details, again, are at alwharf.com. Dan Brennan and Sean Sullivan, and I'm not the confident storyteller here with this one, so take it away.
Well, wait a second. No, this is what do you? Hey,
take her away, Sean. So, all right, you want me to just open it anyway?
Well,
the owner of an events company says his 4-day convention in New Orleans. I didn't say the word there. See, I skipped over a word.
See, I'm throwing a flag right here. We're not doing it like this. We're not doing it like this. You're not gonna cherry pick
his 4-day convention
of this story that you want to tell, and then leave the remainder for me. Why do you think I'm typecast here?
It's his convention led to 41 new coronavirus and coronavirus.
You can't even say it.
No, I'm flustered as I can be because it's kind of naughty.
All right. Okay. So. This is another, you know, we hear about super spreader events, Dan. Super spreader, we were told, having...
You said it, not me.
Having Thanksgiving with the family.
Yes.
Going down to South Baldwin, South Mobile County.
I went
up
to Virginia Beach.
You went for super spreader events.
Right.
All right, let me do this. I'm going to give this... Can you give me some background music to do this story? All right, story from WPMI. Dateline, New Orleans, Louisiana. The owner of an events company... Oh, this is perfect. Says his 4-day swingers convention in New Orleans held last month has been tied to 41 new coronavirus infections.
How in the world?
Wonder what other infections came.
That's the tip of the iceberg right there.
The case count from the naughty New Orleans convention began on November 11th. So that's how they celebrated Armistice Day. That's how they celebrated Veterans Day, right? They're veterans of these events. Well, it jumped from 5 positive tests to 41 confirmed cases in a matter of days. Naughty Events owner Bob Hannaford wrote his blog post on Friday.
Hey, Bob.
He wrote that the company has reached out to attendees to urge them to get tested and conducted very aggressive contact tracing. Very aggressive contact tracing. All right. Though most of the cases have been mild or asymptomatic, at least 2 people had a tougher time and were suffering, according to the blog post from Bob Hannaford. It's unclear exactly how many of the convention's 300 attendees have tested positive. Hannaford did not immediately respond to a phone call requesting comment.
Yeah, that was me calling him.
It says, you see, we have no idea how many people got tested after our event, nor if anyone tested positive and didn't tell us, Hannaford wrote on his blog post. He goes on, he said, there could have also been people that are positive but without symptoms, so they never got tested. Now, how does Naughty Events run their stuff?
Okay. Please.
Naughty Events issued wristbands that indicated if an individual had shown paperwork to prove that they had antibodies, and other wristbands that had the date of the individual's last negative test.
The wristbands is all they were wearing.
That is exactly right, which made it more
naughty.
Exotic. Yes, naughty to have the wristband on. Attendees were also required to socially distance. Okay, hold on. Socially distance. I know I'm an old married dude here, but if it's a swingers convention, how'd you swing?
Yeah.
Attendees were required to socially distance. Oh, in lines and wear masks in public places. But I'm sure they had to take those masks off at some point. Hannaford wrote that, but some attendees admitted to being more lax on the last few days of the convention. And so there you go. Swingers headline here from WPMI. Swingers convention, Dan.
Even
says
swingers.
A super spreader event.
Okay.
Super spreader.
I get it.
See, so I made it through it, kind of.
You did. I didn't. Not even. I didn't even report on the story. I barely made it through.
Socially distanced, so 6 feet apart. Right? Isn't that the rule? If you have your mask off, you got to be 6 feet apart.
Right. So that's not a whole lot of swinging going on.
How do you? Okay.
That's the story of the day.
There you go. So forget about mullet toss when they try to make that,
That ain't nothing.
Naughty New Orleans is, you know, 41 coronavirus infections. There you go. How do you come home and tell the family? Hey, they'll say contact tracing. Where do you think you got it from? I don't know. We had that. You just went to a convention in New Orleans, right? Yeah, it was a convention. We were talking about work and business. Oh, really? Okay, let's see your contact tracing. Trixie Lamour was one of your contacts? Was she?
She's a consultant from Dallas.
Yes, sir.
It's
the Lamour family, you know.
827 at FM Talk 106.5. The other story that got you going today, which I loved.
You're just trying to. This is called Dan Riles Sean Up.
This is the Sean segment. And so, so before we went on the air at a million hours ago at 5:55, so we're getting ready to go on the air and start the show. And which was a mistake on my part. I point out to Sean Sullivan. I said, "Hey, Sean, heads up! The animals that get on planes, all of them. You know, all those animals. What are they called again?
They're the emotional support animals.
Emotional support
service animals.
Yeah. So the airlines say no more of that. Dogs only. So if you're going to get on there with an ostrich or a pig or a monkey that's going to end up leaving first class and coming up and getting on my head, you can't do that anymore. And so." I got that information to Sean, and he proceeded on a rant that had me crying laughing, and then we had to go and talk about serious news.
Well,
so the 6 o'clock hour was tough for that reason.
Yeah, and the short point here is, and so, okay, the story goes, the government has decided that when it comes to air travel, only dogs can be service animals, and companions used for emotional support don't count. Okay. If they would have the TSA or Transportation Department has issued their final rule as of yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. This has been going on years and years and years.
Because they've turned into stories with pictures, images from airports where you see a pig or a donkey walking through the airport.
Correct.
And you're saying, what's going on here?
And it's been years and years of this, and now the government goes, oh, this is being abused.
What was the breaking point?
I think it was, and I'll get to that story in a second,
okay,
with the multiple emotional support animals.
Oh, yeah.
I think that was a breaking point. But
yeah.
The fact that it takes government, you know, 4 years, 5 years, 6 years, 7, 8 years, 9 years to figure this out, when if they would have asked all of us, say, hey, here's what we're thinking about doing, y'all. We're thinking about opening it up to all emotional support animals. Do you think that will be abused? All of us in the real world would have said, yeah, damn right, it's going to be abused. You know what they charge to put a dog on a plane? People are going to say that's their emotional support. Yes, it's going to be abused. People are going to bring it's going to look like Noah's Ark on the 747.
Tell them the breaking point, which I think was...
So we go through these stories, like you said, and you got the people that go beyond dogs, and they got emotional support monkeys.
Peacocks.
Pigs.
Yeah.
Miniature horses. And the miniature horse, I think, is what the straw that broke the camels. I don't know if camels were on the plane, but it would have broken their back. We had the story a year, maybe a year and a half ago, when old boy comes on the plane with two emotional support animals. It is a miniature pony and a monkey. Airline says, you can't have two of them.
Mm-hmm.
He said, well, and I forget which one was one.
Yeah, here's what you don't know.
He said, that's my emotional support animal, that miniature horse. And the monkey is the emotional support animal for the miniature horse. And at that point, I think we jumped the shark really big time on that. So now TSA, all these years later, has gotten around transportation and says, you probably can't do that. So thank you. Thank you, government.
830, FM Talk 106.5. FM Talk 106.5, Dan Brennan and Sean Sullivan in for Dalton Orwig. Let's go on the line at McConnell Automotive, Dolphin and I-65 right now and talk with Louie Arata. Good morning, Louie.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Doing great. Front of the month. Probably got some cars on the lot.
Hey.
What's going on over there?
We've got employee pricing.
Talk to
through
me.
December.
Mm.
You want a pickup truck? Employee pricing. You want a Envision? Employee pricing at $47.50 in rebate. That's I said, and $47.50 in rebate. We got the deals going on the new car side. We also got some nice fresh trades, and you can check those out online at McConnellAutomotive.com. And if you got any questions on any of them, give Gene or I a call at 251-476-4141. Got great interest rates. And, you know, we've got cars all the way from Range Rovers to Denali three-quarter ton diesels that everybody's looking for. I mean, we do not have a new diesel on the lot because they are just flying out of here. Got a few coming in. If you want a new one, just give us a call. Like I said, 251-476-4141. Or come see us in beautiful Midtown Mobile on Dolphin Street.
Sounds good. Of course, you can always, again, check out online at McConnellAutomotive.com. And, Louie, we'll talk to you again tomorrow, and have a good day on the lot.
Thank you.
Louie Arata with McConnell Automotive, Dolphin and
I-65. All right, it's also a Thursday. That means we get to talk to our buddy Rob Holbert from Lanyap and check in on what's happening with this week's issue of Lanyap. Hey, Rob.
Goodness, Sean Sullivan. While.
Yeah, it's been a while. Do you remember me? I think I remember.
I do. It's a nice thing to get a chance to talk to you again. You know, to a real professional. I don't, you know.
it's right. I just listened to the first half hour of the 8 o'clock
hour.
Can
you hear that?
I'm here too, Rob.
Sorry, Dan. That was a joke.
I want to, first of all, before we get into the new issue with Lanyap and cover stories and all that good stuff, I do want to talk to you a bit about your reaction for the Transportation Department finally putting an edict out on emotional support animals. Mm. No pigs, no ostriches, no alligators, no monkeys, just dogs these days. Are they coming down real hard, and do you feel that they're in front of the story?
I feel like I finally got my emotional support falcon trained at the wrong time.
took them like,
I mean,
8 years?
Yes, it's ridiculous. The things that people, you know, why just hand out a blankie for everybody. I mean, it's
well,
a little
ridiculous. They couldn't see this coming, I guess is my issue, that they're like, I'll be darned, people abuse that.
That's been your angle from the jump. From this morning when I brought it up to Sean, he was like, didn't they see this coming? They talked to a jury of five normal people and said, here's our idea. What do you think, guys?
We said, bad idea.
No, don't do it.
Because the average person is going to look at that and say, you know, flying with my dog would not be something I'd want to do. You know, that's not, I don't want to fly with my dog. It's not a matter of I would like to fly with my dog. I don't want to.
Well, here's the thing.
I don't want to deal with the hassle. So
I don't
want
to.
People who think that that's a good idea to begin with are coming from a totally different standpoint.
Yeah, I don't want to fly. It's not that I don't want to fly with my dog. I don't want to fly with your hyena.
Yeah, I don't want to fly
that's
with your
the point.
I don't want to fly with your lizard. I don't want to fly with your snake. I don't want to fly with anything. But I don't want to fly with your dog either. No, it's not. Your emotional support dog is not.
Listen. If somebody truly has
emotional support to get on the plane.
No, I'll say this for and vets out there and one I know personally that have emotional support dogs. Those are important.
Yes.
And those vets that have dealing with PTSD. I'm all for that. But that's where it needs to stop.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
You know, or somebody
dogs.
who has a seeing eye dog or something like that. OK, fine. Absolutely. Beyond that, deal with it.
I've known so many people who have gotten some sort of dispensation for their dog just to hang out with them because they like to hang out with their dog, and they laugh about the whole, it's an emotional support animal. Mm. I mean, I've known people who do that.
It's a racket.
It is an abused program. There's no doubt.
If I'm set 30,000 feet heading to Philadelphia, and I'm trying to eat my little Snyder's pretzels.
That or the biscotti, yeah.
While being stared down.
You get on my biscotti, we're going to have a problem. That's all I got to say.
And I'm being stared down by a goat in AC. Or A3. It's like, what in the blank is going on here? Let's move on to the Lanyap.
I want to go into this too, Rob, because when I was saying yesterday on the show and the day before that, I guess yesterday, it said, we have talked about this subject many times, many, many shows, callers. You mentioned in your Damn the Torpedoes piece, Clarence Carrio. We talked with him. It finally happened, Rob, with this purchase there at Brookley. This has been a long time coming.
It has, and it really, honestly, it came out of the blue. I mean, it was not something that that I even heard was happening. Honestly,
me neither.
It had, you know, for those who are unfamiliar, the old Gulf Pines golf course that was owned by the University of South Alabama out at Brookley, you know, it's 300 acres of golf course, so essentially mostly unimproved property out there, and it's a beautiful piece of property, and it's really the last large piece of property available on the bay that could be available for a park. And we've talked about this for a decade, saying this would be a great place for the city to have a park. And, you know, Mayor Stinson has said many times that he believed that it would be a great place for a park, but the wrangling for it, the USA Foundation owned the property, and they wanted somewhere between $45 and $60 million for it, and it just didn't look like it was ever going to come together. In fact, it was under contract 2 years ago. A year ago at this time, it came out of contract. It was it was March of last year that it looked like it was being sold for $45 million and was going to be developed. And so, that it came, all this came through with money from oil and gas money, from money from the state, federal money. This isn't $45 million in city money, so people can get down off the chair. It's not. But even if it was, I would say it's probably a good investment for the city. But it's a great thing, I think. We have a city on the bay, a city on the river, and we have no access to those things. We've got Cooper Riverside Park, which is a little bit of access to the river. But,
and you've got Battleship Memorial Park, which that side's still in Mobile.
But it's not, it's not really the same kind of thing that we're talking about. This is an opportunity to build something where people can really connect with the water. Hopefully, now there are going to be some restrictions because some of the money that's being used, as far as wetlands and things like that.
The NFWF money. Yeah, that $2 million in NFWF money.
Yeah, so there's going to be a few restrictions in that regard, but I'm sure that we'll figure ways to work around it to the extent that you can keep it looking good and keep it as natural as possible, but also serve community. But, in my pipe dream, I hope there's a pier out there. I hope there's a great big pier where people can fish. I hope there's an opportunity for people to kayak and paddleboard and do those things that you see. If you go to other cities that have water and even cities that, you go to Austin, Texas, and they've blocked off, they have little finger lakes they've created in the city where people are doing all sorts of water sports, and you drive around Mobile and it's, half of us or most of us can't even really get out on the bay. You want to take your kid fishing, it's a chore to do.
Well, I think what the reason the pressure hadn't been ramped up as much in the past is, we couldn't, we can go to Dolphin Island, go to Cedar Point Pier. You could go on the Eastern Shore. You had other options, but you made this point way back. Like I said, we've been talking about this for years and years and years, that inside the city limits, there wasn't the access that this provides. And I think it's neat. I mean, somebody goes out there who wants to kayak and fish, they're having fun. The person who just wants to watch airplanes land at Brooklyn, they're having fun.
Yeah.
This is an opportunity for people to... It's 5 minutes from downtown. Mm-hmm. I mean, once Broad Street is improved, this will be zipped right down to the park. If you're in Midtown, just go straight down Michigan. It's not much of a trip at all. It takes you 5 minutes to get there, and you can be on the bay versus, it's even quicker than going out to the causeway and going to Mayor Park or going down to Dolphin Island. It's faster. Like you said, there's a lot of opportunity to do different things out there, and it's a big piece of property. So there's about 300 acres out there, and about half of that will be for public use. About 50 of that is going to about 100 of it will go toward a park. About 50 of it will be conserved as wetlands, but there will be trails and things like that, so you can have nature trails and walk through there.
That's awesome.
And then about 150 acres will go for economic development.
Rob, what is the timeline on this? And everything I've read about it, I haven't seen like a projected timeline when we can cut the ribbon and it's no longer just conjecture, it's there.
Dan, I think the first things they've got to do are get everything, all the closings done, they said, and then they've got to put together a group of people to say, this is what we can do and this is what we want to do. So I don't think anybody really knows exactly. There's not a plan yet, and I think that's a big part, is putting together a plan, the first thing. But, that's the hope. I mean, the city used to have, back a long, long ago, we had Monroe Park that was down in that area, and, we haven't really had a bayfront park since then. I mean, we do have Battleship Park, but it's its own entity, right?
Yeah.
It doesn't really offer access. Hopefully, there's an opportunity for some more access to the Bay.
No, I think it's a good thing. Any additional is a good thing. I think this is positive, and I like the fact that this is one of these, you know, we have this bucket of subjects we talk about day in and day out or year in and year out. Wouldn't it be great if... And quite often they don't come to fruition. Here's one that finally did, and I want to point that out.
Yep.
And we'll do this. Can you hold on over the break, and we'll come back and talk more about this? All right, coming right back. More with Rob Hulbert from Lagniappe, lagniappemobile.com. We'll talk about, because Lagniappe's actually on my list of Locals Only Christmas, where I have all the great local Christmas gift ideas, and a subscription is one of them. He'll tell you how to get signed up for that or give it as a gift when we come back.
847 FM Talk 106.5. Dan Brennan, Dalton Orwick is home today. Sean Sullivan filling in. Morning, y'all. It is quite a morning. It's 852 at FM Talk 106.5. Dan Brennan, Sean Sullivan, Rob Hulbert from Lagniappe. Jeff Ford on the way, by the way. You guys have got, you all know Jeff because Jeff writes for Lagniappe.
It's all one big happy family.
Exactly. This is like a frat. Hey, Rob, what's going on, buddy?
It's like a trip to New Orleans is what it is.
Super spreader event 2021 on the way.
Super spreader event like no other. Coming to New Orleans this fall. Bob Hannaford.
This Coliseum with mud.
Bob Hannaford, I got that.
I'm out. I'm not having this conversation.
He sent me the copy to do the voiceover on that spot. I was the guy.
You get the people to do the racing spots. Hey, Rob, before we talk about more what's in the new issue of Lagniappe, but I want to talk about Lagniappe itself because, you know, it's time, like I do each year, my Locals Only Christmas list, where I roll out cool locally produced products that you can give for Christmas presents. And as always, y'all are on the list. And tell folks if they want to get it, buy a gift for themselves or give a gift or both of Lagniappe, how do they do that?
Well, it's a good time to do it because all this month we are going to be offering, we're offering the subscription. You know, normally if you sign up for a year right now, we give you a month off, a month free. Now, right now for this month, we're getting 2 months free. So that takes it down below that 21 cents a day for those who are really counting pennies. And so you can go to thegiftoflocalnews.com and you can send that to somebody, thegiftoflocalnews.com. And you can send that, you can get somebody a subscription, send them Lagniappe, or you can buy it for yourself. And you'll still get that 2 months off.
So, who knew that URL, who knew that website was open for purchase? Thegiftoflocalnews.com.
You would be surprised. There were many that were very close that were not available. It was available.
Because imagine that when we post this up, when we post up the Locals Only Christmas list, I'm going to take away the lagniappemobile.com, claim your gift. I'll go to thegiftoflocalnews.com will be the hyperlink they need to use to get that.
That's right. And you can get it sent to your home, and you can also, obviously, when you do that, you get digital access. With digital access, you get all the breaking news. Kids, there's just a lot more stuff going on online than there is just in the paper. So if you're only getting... If you're only picking up the paper, you're getting plenty of news, but you're not getting all of it. We're doing a lot of stuff every day, plus our new sports section with Tommy Hicks writing for us. He's putting stuff up there all the time. And if you follow sports, he'll have a lot of information tomorrow about the state championship. So don't want to have to wait till next Wednesday to read about it.
All right. Thegiftoflocalnews.com. And one of our Locals Only Christmas gifts. Now let's talk about some more content here. You have Dale's story. Local legislators show support for medical marijuana. Let's talk about that.
Yeah, it's fascinating to me that what it really took for Alabama to get in the to get really behind medical marijuana is having Mississippi pass it. All of a sudden, everybody's real chapped about the fact that Mississippi has medical marijuana and Alabama doesn't. Everybody's, we definitely need to do that now. So, yeah, it's looking very positive, like it's going to happen. It's something that if you need it, if those people who need it, it really is important. And there's plenty of scientific evidence at this point. I think arguing that it doesn't have some effect for some people is a waste of time. I think it has been proven at this point. Is it a stepping stone toward legalization of marijuana? I mean,
it is everywhere else it's happened.
It is everywhere else it's happened. That's true. Is our Attorney General arguing that we can't do it, even though all the other places that have done it are doing it. Yes, that's true. But, you know, I think you look at it bottom line when you read the story, there are a lot of folks who need it and can't get it. And it's a pretty tough thing when you're
I agree. I mean, I've been a proponent of legalized medical marijuana since the subject came up. I still continue to do that. But I am not one of these people that pretends like it doesn't go to recreational. I mean, I you got to tell the truth. I'm still a supporter of people who need it, getting it, but understanding that it does, I mean, it does move towards recreational.
But moves toward individually, like people use it recreationally that are claiming that it's...
Or those states end up within some period of time of moving on to legalize
recreational. Is that the big opposition talking point?
What do you think?
Yeah, it is the big opposition talking point. The big opposition talking point is that it's illegal, that it is, you know, it's illegal at the federal level. That's what Steve Marshall says. But, you know, they've managed to do it in a lot of other states. I still think the need outweighs the potential for abuse. I mean, there's going to be abuse, but, you know, there's already a lot of abuse of marijuana in this state. I mean, I think we all are aware of that. The question of whether we can make marijuana completely unavailable by making it illegal, I think, is an argument that has been proven false already. So
I agree with you. I mean, of course, you talk about the federal angle. It's one of the things I told folks that when Jeff Sessions was Attorney General, I said the best thing ever for legalization of marijuana, because he would have pressed the federal law. Then that would have made Congress, they would have heard the hue and cry, and Congress would have had to make a decision. So there we go. All right, more of that in the new edition of Land App. And once again, if people want to buy that gift copy for themselves or somebody else or both, how do they find that website? What is it?
TheGiftOfLocalNews.com. Check it out. And, you know, like I said, there's 2 months off. You buy the year, and you get 2 months off. So it's a little cheaper.
Got you, Rob. Thank you, man. Dan Brennan, Sean Sullivan, we'll do it again tomorrow. FM Talk 106.5, and Sean's back at noon.